You've most likely heard music from Atlanta band Manchester Orchestra, even if you're not aware of it. Musicians Andy Hull and Robert McDowell scored the 2016 cult film Swiss Army Man with Daniel Radcliffe and Paul Dano. And if you missed that one, you might have seen them playing some pretty big festivals like Bonnaroo, Lollapalooza, or even Shaky Knees. The band's been going strong since 2004, and now they're about to release their fifth studio album. It's called A Black Mile to the Surface. So with me in the studio is the powerhouse duo behind Manchester Orchestra, Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. Hello there.
Wow, thank you. That's
You're welcome.
Very kind. Yeah.
Powerhouse.
Sure.
They're flexing as we speak, which you
sure,
may not be
not impressive.
So I get Manchester, named after the city in England. Why orchestra?
Well, when I started the band, it was the second band that I ever started in high school. And so the first one broke up and I was over the drama and the politics of having to deal with the, other people. So I thought it would be cool to have a band where I could be the leader. And I had so many friends that were in bands, but it was so dramatic in high school to be in, you know, rival bands and who's going to be whatever. So I thought I'll just be the one who makes the decisions. And
you were going to be Cab Calloway.
If anybody wants to come and play with me, then they can. And then obviously it turned into more of a traditional band a few years after that, but that's behind the title.
So what do you think, if you look back at the beginnings when you first got into the group, name a song for me on the album that's like the farthest away from where you were.
Mm-hmm. On the new album?
Yeah.
On the new album from where we were then?
Yeah.
I
like, what's the most, the biggest journey?
I think a song like The Alien, where we're now able to have complex parts but contain them and not have to rely on dynamics and angst and
volume
to relay the emotion. We've learned how to strip away and approach with the less is more, but still hopefully achieve the same emotions.
Mm-hmm. Made a pact with you and God. If you don't move, I swear to you, I'm gonna make you.
So you guys have stayed with indie labels. Why?
Somewhat, yeah. Well, I mean, the first label that we started our first label, I started it back when we released our very first EP in like 2005. And so we did a deal with Columbia Records underneath Sony that they would sort of buy or lease our record label and give us a budget to help release other records as well. But we still had a major label machine at our disposal to use certain aspects of it. We were always very weary of it at the beginning because all we'd heard were horror stories about bands signing too big a deals and then labels leaving them. And so we tried to be conscious and smart about what deals we were making. So we've really more found a way to hold on to the DIY mentality and the indie mentality, but we've also been able to partner with people who get that and have been able to give us, you know, a lot of great opportunities.
And Robert, what do you think that does for you to sort of steer away from the I guess music making machine that is, say, Columbia?
Well, I think the faster you rise, the faster you fall. And we're a band that we want to have 5 records, 10 records, 15 records, and
well, you have 5.
Yeah. Halfway there.
Yeah.
And I think when you partner with the right partner and they know that you're not looking for the biggest single in the world, you're looking for the best piece of art you can make right now, they let you control it more. And it gives you creative control to make the record you want to make instead of the record that's going to be the biggest success in this small window.
So let's talk a little bit about scoring a movie. And first, let's hear the finale song from the soundtrack of the 2016 film Swiss Army Man. What is the difference in music making and songwriting for you between making something for an album and making something for a film?
Well, an obvious difference for this particular score that we did was that we weren't allowed to use, for about 95% of the score, we weren't allowed to use any instruments. So it was all just my voice or the actor's voices or Robert's voice. So that was kind of like taking a, you know, not wanting to go to school, like I said before, but that was truly like a master's thesis of relearning how to make music and relearning how new ways to create atmosphere. And that's something that was heavily influential for us on this new album, because we had to learn how to make music without words that conveyed an emotional kind of hit you in the heart feeling. And we also had to do it in the span of, in some instances, 15 to 30 seconds. So how do you make a heartbreaking song in 15 seconds? And the score sort of taught us through over a 13-month headbanging on the wall experience how to do that and how to create these sort of sonic landscapes that we weren't really that focused on mm-hmm. in previous Manchester records.
And it also... It was nice creating something that isn't the main art piece. You're adding to someone else's vision. And I would say for our pride, that kind of like checks you a little bit. So going into this album, we were very open to like, well, yeah, like bring that to the table. We weren't so gung-ho on being the alpha male in the room. It was a lot warmer.
Mm-hmm.
So let's hear another clip from that film. This is called Talk to Her. Shades of the Beach Boys there.
Sure.
and we can sort of hear your problem solving and how you got around not using instruments. But I wonder if you could ever see yourself, you know, you see, look at somebody like Danny Elfman, who said, all right, as soon as I started scoring movies, that was it. I was done with pop music. Hmm. Did you feel a sort of pull to do this again?
I think it more so influenced how we look at everything now. And for this Manchester record to really try and create an album within an album of sonic landscapes. And we wanted the album to sort of seem like a house where every different song is a room that you're in, and it's this different feeling. And we learned a ton of that from the score. It was very hard to do. I mean, it took us 13 months from start to finish to work on the score. So it wasn't something that we were like signing up for immediately. It would have to be something that we really believed in and cared about enough to put our hearts and brains into it for that long again.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with two of the members of Manchester Orchestra, Andy Hall and Robert McDowell. Then you just mentioned the new album, so let's hear another clip off the new album. This is called The Gold.
Ceiling. I don't think I love you anymore. That gold mine changed you. You don't have to hold me anymore. Our cave's collapsing. I don't want to be me anymore.
So one of the great things about you guys is you sound just as good live as you do on your album. Like, nobody's going to hear your music in the album and then go to the concert and be disappointed. That pleases me as a musician.
Yeah.
But there are other people for whom that's not a big deal, right? I mean, like, for other people, the craft of sort of engineering the perfect sound mm-hmm. is the most important thing. And I wonder where you fall on that spectrum, whether it matters to you if a band or a singer can go and reproduce the same thing live.
I don't look down on somebody who can't pull off what's going
on
the album.
Because we've made records like that. Like, we obviously couldn't pull off the Swiss Army Man score. We've
right.
made solo records that there
well,
isn't
yeah,
a band.
Yeah, because you're layering yeah. their voice. But that's not exactly what I'm talking about,
right?
Right? I'm talking about someone who needs an engineer to clean up the sound, to clean up the vocals. And
you know, if that person is a creative mind, you know, like somebody just totally outside of the box, what we're talking about, somebody like Kanye West, for example, is not a good singer, but has used technology and a ton of, you know, cool creative ways to make himself a good singer. I think that's amazing. I think there aren't any rules to creating music, and there shouldn't be any rules to creating amazing music. And if that means you have to put it through 100 different computers, as long as it sounds dope at the end of it, then you're in a good spot, you know? And I think technology now allows people to do that live and to recreate things like that with auto-tune, et cetera. For us, I think this just kind of goes back to our DIY roots and spending hundreds of days on the road for several years, the early part of our career. I don't know, I guess I just feel fortunate that we can sing and we can sing live. Because if we couldn't, I'm sure I would be using all the other tricks.
Okay, let's hear a little more music. This is an older tune, actually. This is not from the new album. This one is called Shake It Out. It's from Mean Everything to Nothing. Shake it out, shake it out. We can hear Georgia in your music?
There's definitely some Georgia, but I don't know if it's the same like Southern rock that you would classify.
Like the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
Surely. I mean, certainly there's, you know, it might be more, you know, Neil Young, which isn't Southern rock, but it's still, there's definitely that there, this sort of swamp Southern gothic thing that we like to dive into from time to time. I think it depends on the record that you're listening to, because all of our records sound a whole lot different from each other. So I think like on our third record, there was definitely more of a Southern, you know, mm-hmm. element to it, where our fourth record probably not so much.
So, then let's hear from the third album. The third album was Simple Math, right?
Yes.
Okay, so this is the title track off that album. Easily one of the best lines. What if I was wrong and nobody cared to mention? So great. So then how do you stay together? Because it doesn't matter when what era we're talking mm-hmm. about. It is hard, especially when you're touring and mm-hmm. you're stuck in close quarters for yeah. long periods of time. That is hard. How do you make it work?
Well, I'm fortunate because Robert's my best friend, also is my brother-in-law, so he's sort of trapped in this relationship with me.
Right, you can't totally be mean to him or your sister's going to come down.
Well, sure.
But I also think we have a understanding in a relationship where we do bicker a lot because we don't have time to navigate feelings, especially in the studio where what I'm saying is harsh and would hurt my wife's feelings. I don't care if they hurt his feelings right. because it's for the greater good. And, well, and same you, if it comes like towards
you,
me.
We can't have feelings during that process. It's like you got to kind of throw out your personal, side of if this idea is good or if this idea is not. And ultimately, I think the thing that keeps it together is having a group of people, and especially with Robert and Tim and Andy. Everyone's dedicated to the same thing. We want to make the best possible record that we can.
So let's listen to one more song from the new album. That this track is The Sunshine. I already know that I don't already know. You are sunlight. I don't really care if you don't understand. You are the moonlight. And that's all I What do you like about this album?
I like it because nothing was left untouched. And sometimes we added too much stuff and we would have to strip it away. Sometimes we wouldn't add enough stuff. But I know that everything on this record is intentional. And there's not really anything that I see myself looking back on being like, I wish I would have done that different. because with everything, we tried it differently, and we're committed that that's the best thing we can do. It's the best album we can make, so I'm very, very proud of that.
Yeah, I'm just proud that we stuck with it. You know, it was a six-month process, and, you know, there was a mental breakdown at 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and we always rallied and said, all right, I'm getting up tomorrow. I'm going to continue down our voyage of trying to find the next cool keyboard sound and, you know, try not to kill ourselves in the process. And when you finally reached that point where we had a rule, you know, for we wouldn't be happy with a song until we were jumping up and down. And like, that's how we knew we would love the song. And it took like 3 months for us to get that on one song. And when we finally got it, it was like, all right, well, we know it's possible. We just have to do it 10 more times. And then putting the work in and making that happen and actually jumping up and down for 11 songs and realizing this record is what we had, as close as to what we dreamed as it could be. Yeah, there's just a sense of joy and satisfaction with that. And now it's like, you know, you let it go and it's, you let people have it now.
You know, the process that you're describing is not what a lot of teenagers think of when they think that they're going to be in a successful band, right?
Correct.
They do not think of it as being mean to each other because it's about business and it's not personal. They don't think about getting up early in the morning and slaving away and being slightly OCD about all the details, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what advice would you give to...
Run!
Get into it for the right reason, because unless you really love making music and being a musician...
It's not worth it.
There's not enough money or fame to balance it out.
Yeah.
So you got to do it for the art.
Yeah, if you can find, if that's your happy place, is pushing yourself to be creative and to try new things and realize that it's going to be hard forever. And like every record we put out, it just gets harder and harder to try and find something that is original and interesting and inspiring for us, much less thinking about what listeners would want to hear. But if that's something you really love and that makes you feel all weird and fuzzy inside, then do it.
That is Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. They are half of the Atlanta band Manchester Orchestra. Their new album is out this week. It's A Black Mile to the Surface, and we'll go out with their new song, The Moth. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.